This is the Player Spotlight. Every week throughout the season with Wyman and Bob. Brought to you by Mazda of Everett.
It is time, everybody. We do it every day here with Wyman and Bob. Speak to a member of your Seattle Seahawks in our Player Spotlight. And joining us now, a member of the offensive line on the Emerald Queen Casino Sportsbook Hotline. Our buddy Damian Lewis is with us. How are you, man?
Doing great. How you doing?
We're doing great. Appreciate you taking the time, and always fun to talk to you. What's this week been like? That was a big win, you know, against a division rival. A lot of people looking at the Rams going, they got all these backups, and they've got three wins, and it should be an easy win, and it certainly wasn't easy, but it's got to feel good to go out there and end that little mini two-game losing streak.
Yeah, we needed that one, you know, like every week, championship game, you know. Don't take it lightly. That was a division game, and, you know, I'm glad we won. You know, we're on to the next week, and I'm glad we secured the dub.
Well, before we move on a little bit, Damian, I have to ask you, because we've asked a couple people this, what was it like going up against Bobby Wagner? That was a guy, I know you faced him pretty much every day in practice, but to see him in another uniform coming at you, how did that feel?
It was kind of different, though, you know, seeing Bobby around here in the Seahawks. Now they send them in around, you know, it was a little different. But, you know, at the end of the day, I had to go out there and get the job done. You know, I had to go against a great player, you know.
Hey, how do you feel like individually your season has gone? I remember we talked to you last year and you flipped from one side to the other. And at the time you said, it's football. It's not a big deal. And then maybe it wasn't the best year for the whole line after that switch. Do you feel like it's become more comfortable now? Or how are you feeling just individually about your play?
By individual, by my play, I feel like, you know, I'm still getting better every day. There's a lot of things that I got to work on. You know, like every day a rep counts for me. You know, I'm still learning, still taking in stuff. You know, I'm just trying to increase my game every week, you know.
Hey, Damian, this offensive line has been so fun to watch this year, especially those two rookie tackles you guys have. What's it been like working with those two young guys on the line, and how have you seen them come along since they got here?
From day one, they've been a stud since day one. You know, they came in, head down, ready to work, never took a playoff. So I was like, hey, you know, they're going to be great players in the future. You know, Hall of Fame player later, you know, take my word for it. They just, you know, some amazing guys, some monsters.
Well, and it just seems like the whole line, Damian, gelled pretty quickly. And usually when you've got new faces, especially two rookies at crucial spots and a brand new center, it takes some time to develop that chemistry. But you guys seem to find it really quickly. Is that just the system that's in place, the new coaches, or how did you guys find it so quickly?
Well, when you got great leaders like Austin and Gabe Jackson in the room, you know, everyone look up to those guys. You know, they vocal. The leadership are amazing. And, you know, we just bind together. All of us get together, do stuff off the field. So, you know, keep the room alive. Those guys been real great for us, and we need them. We got young guys in the room, and including myself, you know. All of us that look up to them, and they just keep us going, you know. Gabe and Austin, great guys been in the room. But they older, they vets, and they've been doing this for a while.
Yeah, so I was going to ask you about that, and you kind of mentioned hanging out outside of football. What do you guys do? Is it going out for meals? Is it just hanging out to watch the movies or TV when you get some downtime? But how do you bond off the field?
Well, you know, some of us get together, go out and eat, you know, just go around, invite somebody over to the house, cook barbecue or something. You know, just basic. But, you know, that's the little stuff that count.
Now, if you guys go out to eat, how do you determine who pays?
Oh, the rookie fan, man. We got two first rounder rookies. Come on, man.
So do you guys go when you know you're going out, you say, all right, we're going out for steaks. We're going out for a big time dinner if the rookies are paying.
We're going to a 5-star restaurant. We just got the 2 first rounders.
But you mentioned barbecue too. Are you the guy cooking the barbecue? I imagine you have some high standards coming from Mississippi.
Yeah, I know a little something, but Stone Forsythe, he with the grill. Okay. He do the grilling.
Wow. All right. Hey, just as far as the season's gone, I think a lot of people, including myself, I'll admit, expectations weren't high because there were so many new faces, new quarterback, new tackles, everything. And this team has exceeded a lot of expectations. Did you hear much of that prior to the season? Did you hear many of the predictions from the analysts around the country?
Well, you know, I try to block this stuff, but I heard rumors, you know, other people outside don't care about what inside. So we know what we got. And, you know, every day is a stepping stone. You know, every week is a level. So, you know, we still just climbing up the ladder and, you know, trying to see where it's going to take us at the end.
Hey, Damian, what have you seen out of Geno that's impressed you so far this year? You guys might have known what to expect. We certainly did it because, you know, we just never got the opportunity to see him. But what have you seen from the time you've worked with him since he took over as a starter?
This ain't that new. Like, Geno been that guy. Like, dude, not that new to me personally. He's not that new. Geno is a great leader and a great competitor. He go out there every day, put a helmet on, and just get ready to work. So, like, me personally, I've been a fan.
Hey, as far as your season as a line has gone, it seems like, you know, you guys got off to such a great start, and then recently the run game's been a little bit tougher. Has anything changed in terms of when you go back and watch the film that you guys are doing anything different, or what are you seeing with the run game?
You know, a couple of things we can, you know, work on better, hand blocks better, you know, just come back to work, and, you know, we just do all our combo blocks back, you know, just try to particular things, you know, here and there. But other than that, you know, we just keep pounding, you know, stay to ourselves, stay true. Don't try to switch nothing up too much, and, you know, just keep on working on the basics.
I imagine as an offensive lineman, it's pretty fun when you have a guy like Ken Walker, and that's another rookie who's been really impressive. When he got there, what did you see out of him that let you know, okay, this guy could be something special?
Man, that man won the Duck Award, what is the most, the best running back in college, right? Mm-hmm. That award, I knew he was going to be special. You know, Ken real explosive. He can do amazing things in the backfield when he get the ball in. And, you know, can break 3 or 4, 5 tackles, take out for a touchdown. You know, we need him. He's a great impact player to the team.
Hey, does it change your game at all, Damian, when something like last week happens where Ken Walker gets hurt, then DJ gets hurt, and Travis Homer didn't even suit up, so then you're throwing in Tony Jones Jr., who a lot of people weren't even familiar with. I don't know how many reps you get with him in the backfield, but does it change how you block at all when you've got a guy that you don't really work with that much back there?
Oh, sir, I nod my head at Tony. You know, once you put that jersey on, ain't no 2s or 3s. Them just on, you know, everybody sort of wants to put that jersey on. It's the next man up. You know, he came in, and congrats to him. He did his thing, you know, then looked back and ran hard, you know.
Hey, Damian, what's the dream for an offensive lineman, or what's the dream for you? Would you rather have a big pancake block, or would you rather have a hole that opens up and leads to a big touchdown run for a running back?
I'm going to lead a touchdown for the running back.
Okay. Points on the board, that matters most, right?
Well, we need points, yeah. I'm going to open the hole up for the running back and let him score a touchdown.
Now, what is it like, though, to pancake someone, though? What is that like? Because we're never going to do that. We've never experienced that, but I know you probably have. How does that feel?
Man, it's just nasty. You know, mean, tough, nasty. That's my style of play. Just throwing somebody in the ground, laying on them, and I'll tell the ref, tell get up. You know, they're just nasty right now.
Well, hopefully we see some of that this weekend. Damian, always good to talk to you. Really appreciate you taking the time, and we wish you the best coming up this weekend against Carolina.
Yes, sir. Thanks for having me.
There you go. Damian Lewis, nasty. Laying on a guy, throwing a guy to the ground, laying on him till the ref tells you to get up.
Big, mean, and nasty. A little bit of syrup on it, as he said. I love that accent, too.
I know. I just love that you just lay on him till the ref tells you to get up. I'm not moving. I didn't hear a whistle. You're staying here.
I really wanted to get into more of his barbecue knowledge. He's a barbecue expert.
As soon as there's a food reference, your eyes light up.
Yeah.
Your ears perk up. It's just like, now we're talking.
My stomach rumbles. My stomach gets big, mean, and nasty.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, sports. Food? Yeah. Did you say food?
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I already have food recommendations for when Dave goes to Kansas City.
See, what are you doing? You peeled an orange and you set it on a dirty old desk.
No, I cleaned it beforehand.
No, you didn't. No, you didn't. That's gross. You know, think about that. That's in the spray path of everybody that's speaking into that mic. They're spraying all over that table. And you just put your raw
orange. No one has sat here today. See? No one has sat here today. Oh, Wyman's not here. No dirty one sits here in the midday
it's
show.
It's old spit that's dried on that table.
No, they clean. They come and clean every night. Cheers. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. No, I'm not going to eat it now because I have to talk.
I wouldn't touch that thing, but okay. Help yourself. All right. Thanks to Damian Lewis. That was entertaining stuff from him. Meanwhile, I was just reading during the break or during that conversation some of the potential business that could be happening in baseball. Now the rumor is that the Giants, who seem to be attached to everybody, they signed Mitch Haniger, they're making a huge push for Aaron Judge, have been having meetings with Carlos Correa's reps. And you feel like they're just being used. You feel like every big-time name is just speaking with them to get others interested, thinking they're going to go to the Giants. We better jump into the sweepstakes and pay this guy more to come back to our place.
I think that could be the way the Aaron Judge thing played out. It sounded like there was a definitive leak about the Giants to get the Yankees to pony up some extra money. So now that you hear the Giants again, all right, maybe they're that team. There's always that team, right? The mystery team was coming in hot. And the Padres have been that team as well because... This was fascinating and kind of unfortunate for them. The Trey Turner signing to the Phillies, Matt Gelb, the Phillies beat writer for The Athletic, had a really good detailed piece, and he had a long couple paragraphs in there about the Padres offered more money.
Yeah,
$42 million more, right?
Yeah, because they had to exceed, whose contract was it? Was that $341 million?
Was it Tatis?
They exceeded it by $1 million.
Well, anyway,
so he took $42 million less to go to the Phillies.
So the fact that the Padres came in as the highest bidder, and then Trey Turner used that essentially, or his camp used that to say, well, look, this is what they're offering. What are you going to do? And then got a final offer from the Phillies. So he truly wanted to go there and not San Diego. There's always a team that comes out there. And another thing to be said about that, and I kind of thought about this from the Mariners' perspective, yes, they need to spend. But for the people that say, well, just go buy someone, just go spend money. If people don't want to come, they're not going to come. And Trey Turner showed that because the Padres are literally here saying, here is our money. We are going to pay you the most money out of anyone out there. And he still said no.
Yeah.
I know not every free agent is going to be like that, but it's not always as easy as saying, let's go get this guy and pay him the most money. From what we've heard, the Mariners, at least early on, were interested in Trey Turner. And I'm sure they got a pretty quick, no, you're not going to offer enough and we don't really want to be there, and then moved on. So, yeah, they're doing it. They're trying.
Well, you don't know to what extent they're trying. I mean, you're making a call and saying, hey, well, what would it take? What's your level of interest?
You don't think the Mariners wanted Trey Turner?
Oh, I'm sure they wanted him at the right price. When you're saying they're trying, that means to me when I hear that, hey, we're in it. Oh, they're going to offer this? Here's where we can go. Here's what we can offer.
The Padres just did that. So sometimes it still doesn't happen.
That doesn't mean the Mariners are doing that.
I'm not saying that, but I'm saying I think the Mariners did want Trey Turner and wanted him enough to make a pretty significant offer. And it still probably didn't come close because of the years. But
I'd be surprised if they made an offer to Trey Turner, if they made an official offer. I think they probably had conversations with his reps and started getting the conversation going about where, let's get a ballpark, no pun intended, what figure you're looking at, what are the expectations? I don't know that they made it a legit, here's our formal proposal to you, Trey Turner, here's what we can give you.
Well, we'll never know.
No.
But yes, but in getting bogged down in semantics here, you're probably closer to being right than I am in that aspect of it, but I think... The issue and the frustration of, well, there has to be money that has to be spent. What if there is no one worth spending that money on right now? Because there is a very thin outfield free agent class.
Mm-hmm.
Because the shortstops all have gotten significantly more years, more money. And what you just said about the Correa number maybe from the Giants. So that's significantly more than the Mariners are willing to go. So if there are guys you want and you do make an offer or you've looked at that aren't those top of the line, the elite in this year, and they don't want to come, well, what do you do? That's when you go and make these trades. So it's not like the Mariners are sitting here and saying, you know what? Yeah, we don't really want to spend money or get better.
Well,
they
I think
are,
they want to
maybe
get better.
Not to the level think, of what think, people like.
Well, I think they want to get better in their own way. They've made it clear that they, you know, when asked about being in on these free agents, now whether they're being truthful or not, I don't think they want to show their hand like, yeah, we're in. We're on the phone every day with Correa's agents, or we're on the phone every day with Judge's agents or whoever. I don't think they're going to give you that. But the reality is I don't think they were really in, certainly not on Judge and probably not Trey Turner. I'm sure they'd like all these players, of course, but I think they understand the ballpark figure that is attached to most of these guys. And that's pretty much a non-starter at that point.
Sorry, I get derailed by a text from the 805 that you need to look at. That we can't read on air, but it's very funny, and we'll laugh about that and maybe save it for when Wyman gets back. So very good. Very good job, 805.
By the way, the Phillies, who just spent a truckload on Trey Turner, They spend even more. I mean, they're just spending just left and right. Taiwan Walker, former Mariner, Taiwan Walker. Some people wanted him back here, even though the starting pitching is not the most pressing need for the Mariners. But obviously, you're familiar with him. He started here. He signs a four-year, $72 million deal with the Phillies, who just spent $300 million on Trey Turner. And so, yeah, there are teams out there that are just going for it. And that's a team that came up a little short in the World Series. They found their way into the World Series. They're paying Bryce Harper. They're paying a lot of guys out there. But to me, if I'm a fan of the Phillies, I'm looking at this going, they're doing the right. Now it's up to the players. They're making the moves. They're giving you the ammunition. It's up to you to make it work now, the players on the field and the manager.
The Phillies are much closer to winning a World Series than the Mariners are, though, obviously, because they're right there. So my issue has been for people that think, well, you have to catch the Astros and you have to spend to catch the Astros. Is there anything you can do in one offseason to catch the Astros? I don't think so. You can't just say, well, we're going to spend enough. We're going to do enough to catch the Astros in one offseason.
No, maybe not. I don't know if it's even about spending. I'm not somebody who's saying you got to spend big just to spend big, just to keep up with the Joneses. But you do need to address needs, and sometimes you don't have to address that need with the bargain. You want a bargain. You'd love to get a guy who's great for nothing, of course. But that's not the reality. Sometimes you do have to spend in order to close that gap, in order to address that hole on the team, whatever, second base, outfield, whatever it is. Sometimes you've got to spend that money. It can't always be about, well, you know, we're going to go with this guy who's a little older, he's a little cheaper, he's had some success. Sometimes you got to jump in. And that's what the Phillies are doing, who were three games worse than the Mariners this year in terms of their regular season record. How much better are they than the Mariners? You're saying they're much closer. Yeah, they got there. But just in terms of overall talent, how far away are they?
So if they're not that much further away, then maybe the Mariners don't need to spend that much if they are that close. For perception's sake, I know it helps. But there aren't any more free agents to spend on. So now what do the Mariners have to do? Because they have to get someone, right? So is the option Brian Reynolds?
Trade.
It's a trade. Yeah. And is there only one option?
Or they're going to go after Nimmo, or they'll go after Benintendi.
Would that be satisfactory?
I'd have
Benintendi
to see him.
Or Nimmo?
I think either
well,
one of those
from
guys
the
address
perception.
It's all going to be your perspective. Some people expected big, giant moves and wanted sweeping moves. Others are okay with sort of the piecemeal Colton Wong type of moves. You know, Adam Frazier, those aren't big-time deals.
No, your perception, because I know you have come out and you've been very firm on this.
Yes.
That you have to keep building on expectations.
Your holes were obvious. Your shortcomings were obvious, and you need to address those. Now, you brought in a guy in the outfield who's productive, but you also lost a guy who's productive when he's healthy. Now, you're betting on Teoscar Hernandez just being more available and being productive. Is he going to be more productive than a healthy Mitch Haniger? I don't know. We'll find out. I love that move. I like him on this team. But you didn't add him to what you already had. You're replacing. You lost Haniger. You bring him in. You still don't have an answer in left field, as far as I can tell. I think you're hoping it's Kelnick. And you don't have an answer day in, day out at second base, it doesn't feel like, because they're talking about platooning Wong and Dylan Moore, who's a nice piece to have. But Dylan Moore is not a guy who's an everyday player and won't be every day. But is he... Is that really the optimum situation, is to have a platoon situation, or as you call it, platoon
right
at second base?
So, well, but it looks like that's their move at second. So I think we've narrowed it down to the outfield has to be the area of improvement still this offseason. So from your perspective, from, you know, Bob's baseball breakdown, because Brent always puts you on the spot here, are the options narrowed down to Nimmo or Reynolds to make this a successful offseason for the Mariners?
Yeah, unless there's somebody we're not thinking of that's available for trade. Those are the free agents are obvious because they're out there. We know who they are. There might be guys on other rosters that are available in a trade that we're not considering. We know Reynolds wants to be traded. That's public, so we know that. There might be other guys that would be great fits, would be great pickups that are available for trade that we're not hearing their names. So I don't know. Right now it's Reynolds, and he addresses a couple of things. He's productive, he's a good defensive player, and he's an outfielder. All things you need. So that would be phenomenal. Now, I'm not advocating for them to unload the farm for them and just whatever they want, you give it to them at all costs. No. But I think you take a serious run at him until the price tag gets too steep and you're going, listen, man, I'm not going to mortgage our entire farm system for this guy. I get that. But it can't be, hey, we inquired, so we did our job.
I don't think that's going to be the final outcome this year. I mean, with the free agents, yes, that's the cold reality of it. Because maybe what you've kind of talked about, and we'll get into it more tomorrow, that they are saving up and really storing all the wares for Shohei Ohtani.
The more I think about that, the more dangerous that feels.
Yeah, but if that's the free agent move, then perhaps that's why they didn't go big here. I don't think we can sit here on December 7th and say they're done.
No,
they're done, especially trading-wise. So
I'll say this. They better not be done.
Right.
Because if they are done.
Absolutely right.
If they are done, the hypothetical, I'm disappointed. Yes.
So in a couple of weeks, I have a what if Wednesday.
Yeah.
What if the Mariners are done?
Yeah, that's
okay.
But I don't
hopefully
think they're
don't
done.
Have to use that.
I don't think they are done. But just playing your hypothetical, if they just said, hey, rub their hands together like the Vegas dealer, we're good. We're going into battle with this. I'm going, really? Are you better? Are you a better team right now than you were last year?
At this point, I think they are probably replacement level and maybe slightly better with the guys they've replaced, right? And then they got rid of Jesse Winker. They got a comparable situation. I think slightly better in Colton Wong compared to Adam Frazier. So you've gained moderate improvements there. Teoscar Hernandez, from what we've heard, from what we've seen, from all the numbers, he's going to be a good upgrade. He's going to be good in right field. And he's definitely an upgrade over Mitch Haniger, who wasn't there for most of the season. Mm-hmm. This is not apples to apples with Mitch Haniger at his peak. You're replacing a guy who was not there for most of the season. So that's an upgrade. So right now, they've done enough.
They haven't done enough.
For now.
Yeah, because it's not over.
They're coming out of the winter meetings without that big signature move like they made last year before the December lockout hit. They had signed Robbie Ray. That was the massive move of the offseason. But for now, they're there. You're right. If they get past that, then
if they just call it a day, saying we're good now, it's all over, then yeah, I would think I would be in the majority of people going, wait, you're done? Because they're not. They've said themselves, we need another outfielder. We need another bat. They've said that. That's not my term. That's not my statement. That's theirs. I'm just agreeing with them. So there you go. All right. That does it for us. I want to thank our guests today, John Morosi, Ray Roberts, and Damian Lewis. Really good stuff out of all of those guys. If you missed any of it, head to the podcast page at seattlesports.com. Click the podcast tab. Scroll down to our picture and click on that. And you'll find it there waiting for you after the show each and every day. And the key to it is to do what?
Subscribe.
That's exactly right. Subscribe. We're going to be back tomorrow right here with Wyman and Bob. You got Cougar basketball coming up next.